The one and only Terry Crisp joins us. So good morning, Terry. How you doing, my man?
Crispy.
Good morning, Bogeyman. Gentlemen, how are y'all doing this morning? I am great. Set for another hockey game, and hopefully this will end up with a big W.
You know, this team, I don't know, sometimes hard to figure out. Is that fair?
That's a pretty good expression to use. In fact, if you were one of the coaches, you'd probably have a few more words to add. But they are. They're like a Jekyll and Hyde. And I go back to my coaching days, and I see this, and I say, God, one day they're world beaters, and the next day all the world beats them. So it's frustrating. You know what? I use the word frustrating because it's frustrating for everybody. It starts with the coaching staff and the players and everything. They know they want to do well. They know they want to play their best and give their best show and give you your money's worth. And some nights it just doesn't happen for you. And other nights, you know what? Some of the games you lost are heartbreakers. You play hard. You're right there. You get it to within a goal. You get overtime, a shootout, and you don't make it. But at least when you leave the ice, you can feel at that given time you gave your best. And if you can do that, I guess, if you're giving your best, then that's all you can do. But if you're not, then you got to start to look in the mirror.
You know, and obviously, several examples, Pekka, you think, oh, he's done, Pekka's done, and he goes and throws pitches, whatever, a goaltender, his 350th shutout Friday night, and so, Pekka's not done.
Yeah.
So, no.
Pekka is the man. I mean, we've known all along that he's got us where we are, where we're going, and then young Saros comes along, UC Saros is going to be a good, great goaltender, hopefully. I use the word, I shouldn't go great until I save that for Gretzky's and them, but he's a good, solid goaltender right now, and one day will be a starter. But in the meantime, right now, Pekka has the throne. It's his. And he is not giving up his crown. He's not giving it away. And he'll be the first to tell you that he still has some good hockey left in him. And like you said the other night, he steps in, hasn't played in four games, and throws a shutout. So that tells you exactly how good Pekka is. He can still handle it.
Last time out for the Preds, they were shut out in Florida. A guy making his first NHL start between the pipes. How frustrating is that when a guy, you know, you don't know very well, keeps you off the scoreboard for, you know, three periods, Terry?
You know what? You're not even thinking of if you're a player or a coach. That never enters your mind until after the game. And then the press get on it. And now your face is getting embarrassed, and you're thinking, what just is it? But during the game and before the game, you mention it. You say, hey, here's a new kid, guys. Let's get on him early. Let's test this guy early. That's the phrase you would have heard in the dressing room. Hey, this kid hasn't played. First NHL game. Let's test him. Let's get on him. Let's get traffic in front of him. Let's screen him. Let's block him. Let's start tipping. That's how we're going to, well, we didn't get that part of the job done. And on the other side of the coin, the Florida players, they're saying to themselves, hey, guys, we got a new goalie in here. His first game, let's protect him. Let's give him all the help we can give him. They did a good job of keeping us to the outside. We did do a good job of fighting our way through it because every team wants you on the outside. That's hockey. But the good teams find a way to beat you and find their way through the blockade you set up and get to the front of the net. And the youngster, his name is Driver, I think, whatever. Mm-hmm. I feel happy for him. I mean, I don't mean that in a bad way for our team.
Right.
But here's a guy who served his time, paid his dues, been in the minors, rode buses, done it all, gets a shot at it, and never mind winning his first NHL game, but throwing a shutout. And I just feel good for him and his family because for them, that's, I don't say retribution, but it's just saying, you know, for all the hours we spent, this game was worth it.
Something you can tell his kids and grandkids, right, going forward.
Exactly. How many guys can do that? I don't know, but he has the right to do it now.
Yeah, but, you know, I was thinking Friday and Saturday night, you win 3-0, you lose 3-0. Isn't that a microcosm of this season? Just that 48-hour, 24-hour period, essentially.
It is. I'm telling you, I sit with Mason and Donick and Pete Weber and Hal Gill, and we're all looking at each other. And we're just saying, you know, well, did you get your ticket for the roller coaster ride? I got my ticket for the roller coaster ride. Are we on the top of it today or are we down at the bottom of it today? It's just, you can just tell it's frustrating for them. Bogey, you've been around. You guys have been around the dressing room. You can tell when they know that they haven't played their best. You can know when they played their best and didn't get any results. But it's something every team goes through, and you have to. And there's no easy way out of it. You work your way through it, and you work darn hard.
Terry Crisp is our guest. Terry, you would know this way better than I would, but I look at Matt Duchene from the center iceman position, the way he sets guys up, the way he can make plays. I'm having trouble understanding why he keeps getting moved to wing from time to time. I think he's a much better center. Isn't that what he's here to do? What goes behind the thinking when you have a guy like Duchene so good at center? Well, let's play him at wing tonight.
Probably because you're trying to spread around your wealth.
Yeah.
And Matt Duchene is part of the wealth of our hockey group. When you get Matt Duchene and you're talking Forsberg, you're talking Josi, you're talking three of the most skilled players on our hockey club. And I'm thinking when they need help and they're trying to strengthen it, they move him over because he's capable of doing it. You don't do it just to think that you're an inventor or you're trying to outthink everybody. He's capable. And you talk to him. The coaches will have talked to these players, and they'll say to Matt, listen, if I'm trying wing for a couple of games, he'll say, no, whatever I need, whatever you need, I'm here to do it. Knowing full well, he'll be back at center, and knowing full well that that's his main thing. But as a coach, when things are going wrong, and believe me, I know it, you press every button you can possibly think of to make it happen. And Lav is good at that. He's not one that's going to sit still and wait for it to happen. Now, I know everybody says, well, it brings instability. No, it doesn't bring instability. It brings reckoning. And some guys have to come to a reckoning that they're not playing the way they should play, and that's what happens when the coaches make their lineups. That's what you have to realize as a player.
Terry, the hit on Arvidsson by Bertuzzo, the first one, okay. The second one, nothing but intent to injure. Out 4 to 6 weeks. Bertuzzo gets a 4-game suspension. I've even seen some quotes from Jonathan Toews about it and what he called it, horse, you know what. So, how does, you know, I don't get it, you know. I don't think you can suspend somebody 4 to 6, but when there's 4 to 6 weeks or as long as he's out, I understand that what's fair is fair. But, you know, how is it only 4 games when it's so egregious and so intent to injure?
You know what? I don't have a good answer for you. I'm not in the offices up in Toronto or Montreal, wherever the player safety committee work, the guys that do it. It's not an easy job, and I know there's parameters. And I know the only thing I don't quite understand is how a phone-in hearing versus an in-person hearing. That's what I'm still going to have to get somebody to explain to me as to what that is. Because they said because he had a phone-in, but I might be wrong. I don't want to start throwing out rules that I don't know about. But, of course, when he did it to Arvi, but he's done it before, and if you ever go on the tick there and look at things, he was a repeat offender on the same one. So, of course, when it's your guy getting hurt, you're thinking, well, is that really enough? But, again, I'm not on that committee, so I'm certainly not going to try and judge unless they put me on that committee.
Hmm. Terry, Tampa Bay Lightning in town tonight. Had that great season last year, President's Cup, and then it gets swept out of the first round. Kind of struggling the first part of this year. Do you think that's some of the hangover from what happened to them last spring in the playoffs?
You know what? It shouldn't be a hangover. I mean, Pogi, you and I have had enough of them.
What?
We know how you're kidding.
I've had my share too, Terry.
You get right back in the bucket again. Just joshing people out there. Just joshing, you know. That was funny. Pogi, what happens on the road stays on
Yes,
the road.
Sir.
No, you know what? It shouldn't, because we were embarrassed. I mean, we all were embarrassed last year. And taking nothing away from Dallas, they were full bore for what they did to us and how they did it, and took us to the woodshed, gave us a beating. But that should have been our wake-up call right there, that when the Dallas did it that one time. And, you know, we're still young in the season, but this is a time now when you're sort of lingering near the bottom of the standings that you have to take hold of something and say, listen, guys, we, as a team, look at each other and do it. The coaches can only take you so far. Coaches can do the irks and o's. And coaches can map out strategy and whatnot. But when it comes time to get it done, the guys who walk out of that dressing room, the coaches don't go on the ice. Coaches don't pick up a stick. They don't shoot a puck. The players do it. And they've got to take the bull by the horns themselves and do some reckoning with each other. Why does it always have to be a coach who has to call a player in and have a come-to-you-know-what meeting with them all the time? Why can't the players do that? Like, and I love this thing. Back when I was a player, when I played, if you weren't pulling your load and if you weren't playing the way that the guys knew you should, you answered to them. The coach didn't have to come. They said it to me in the dressing room, right front row center in front of everybody else. And then you realize, hey, it's not the coach picking on me. It's my peers, my teammates telling me face-to-face, get it going. We need you. And pick up your game the way we know you can play.
Terry, what's the path for victory tonight for the Preds against Tampa Bay? Obviously, a team that had a great season last year. They're kind of struggling a little bit this year. But Charlie was telling us they're pretty good on special teams, especially their power play. I would guess number one, stay out of the box, right?
Yeah, that's an easy one. You know, when you look at that and you say what they're doing, stay out of the penalty box. Penalties are sort of one of those things that there's so many ticky-tacky cheap calls right now that just drives me nuts. I mean, they're killing my game. You reach out and tap a guy with a stick, up goes the hand, both ways, not just our team, but other teams. I just think it's ridiculous how they're calling them and whatnot. And if you get a good penalty to stop a goal or to help a teammate, your team will kill it off. But against this team tonight, we're meeting a team that's the same as us. They're having a struggle. They're not playing the way they want to play, so they're a desperate team. So what you should have tonight is a whale of a hockey game with two desperate teams needing a win, needing points. And that's what I look forward to from both these hockey clubs tonight.
You know, you were talking earlier, you know, obviously with Duchesne and everything, just the wealth of centers on this team who, you know, just to, like you know, you were just talking about having your assets out on the ice. And I guess we're going to possibly see Kyle Turris back on the ice tonight. Yet another one through the center line there that, you know, may or may not be good out on the wings. But certainly having him back, that gives you an extra body.
It does. And Turris is a skilled hockey player. We know that. And he knows it. And just to digress a bit, when I played both center and wing. And there was no big thing for me to move from center to wing or back which way. I was a forward, and I knew my system, I knew my job. Mm-hmm. And we're lucky that we have guys like Turris or Sissons or Foligno, Duchesne, and Yarncroke. I mean, they can all move around. They're all good players. And moving them doesn't make them monumental, doesn't make it they can't do it. But having been in tourists' skates before, it's never fun to sit out. And we all have pride. Believe me, I've been on the other end where I sat out four, five, six, seven games in a row and wanting to play and answering questions to the press and trying to keep a stiff upper lip and not say the wrong thing at the wrong time when you do it as much as you'd probably like to sometimes and do it. And tourists is a professional, and he knows it. And when he steps on the ice tonight with his uniform, he will be given the best that he has. And probably just to prove to the coaches and the players that, you know what, I deserve to be back in the lineup. And that's what I hope for tourists tonight.
How much fun was it beating the Blues back-to-back and the way they did it, and with Daniel Carr, especially with the game winner? You talk about another mm-hmm. story of someone who's, you know, what, late 20s and, you know, right on the cusp, but maybe not completely, you know, in and him to get it. But that must have been, you know, calling those games and being involved with those games, a lot of fun.
You know what? That's another feel-good story. And I got to be honest with you. I got to give Lab, Coach Lavery, that full marks to this. When they announced Carr was coming up to shoot the shootout, I was sort of looked and said, oh, said, okay. And then when he scored, they said, yeah, baby, I do. Yeah. But when they asked Lavery, they'd done their homework. And Carr down in Milwaukee, I guess, was one of the best shootout guys they had down there and was pretty darn good at it. So I guess Coach Lab listened to his people in the room and whatnot. Said, you know what, Carr's done a lot. So out goes Carr, bingo. It goes in, which is great. But again, that's coach having faith and confidence and giving guys a chance. And Carr certainly came through for us.
Terry, real quick, looking ahead to Saturday, the Jersey Devils come in, and obviously it's going to be P.K. Subban's return to Bridgestone Arena. I don't know about you, but I miss Purnell. I miss him a lot. I wish you were still here.
Pardell.
Can you talk about what he meant for this organization the 3 years he was here, or however long he was here?
P.K. had exuberance. He had enthusiasm. He loved life. He loved hockey. He knew, and I said this so many times, he's one of the nicest guys I have met, and one of the nicest ones that I've seen, and he's done some favors for me and charity work that I have always thanked him for, and being there to help me out and do it with young kids. And in that vein, he was great. In the hockey vein, he was, when we got him, and I think when you trade a Weber away, whoever's coming in, it doesn't matter who it would have been, you're under the gun a little bit, because our fans love Weber, and we all love Shea Weber. And you move him out of here, and the people, and the first thing they say when you have two bad games, are, well, yeah, you do, whatever, PK. No. PK paid. And in my estimation last year in the playoffs, PK Subban was one of our best defensemen. So for what he did here and what he did with our fans, I'm forever grateful, but I sure as heck want to beat him.
Crispy, fun as always. Thank you for joining us.
Guys, anytime. You know that. And Pokemon, we got to get back together and tell some old stories.
No. Yeah. The one, not, we can tell to each other now, okay? We can't go public with some of these, okay?
You got it, guys.
All
Thanks
right.
for calling. Have a wonderful day. See you all at the rink.
All right.